content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and also from the Harvard Health Letter. And I'm going to start with some articles from the Harvard Health Letter about the subject of the COVID-19 vaccine and COVID-19 prevention. These articles are done by the Harvard Health Letter as a special report, and they're in a question and answer format. The first question is, which vaccines has the FDA approved and authorized for COVID-19? In August 2021, the FDA granted full approval to the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech. This vaccine has received emergency use authorization in December 2020. The mRNA COVID-19 vaccine developed by Moderna also received emergency use authorization in December of 2020. The Johnson & Johnson adenovirus vaccine was granted emergency use authorization by the FDA in late February of 2021. Use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine resumed on April 23, 2021, after a temporary pause. The next question, the FDA has granted full approval to the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. How is this different from emergency use authorization? In August 2021, the FDA granted full approval to the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA vaccine for use in people ages 16 and older. The transition from emergency use authorization status to full licensure was based on additional data and longer follow-up showing that the vaccine met certain safety, effectiveness, and manufacturing quality standards. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine can now be marketed under the brand name Comirnaty. In granting full approval, the FDA analyzed data from 44,000 study participants. Half of these received two doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and the other half received placebo. Over 6 months, the vaccine was 91.1% effective at preventing symptomatic COVID-19 infection. The subset of study participants was followed for 6 months to look at safety outcomes associated with the vaccine. A small but increased risk of two inflammatory heart conditions, myocarditis and pericarditis, was identified. This will be noted in the FDA's prescribing information. The risk is higher in males under age 40 and highest in males age 12 to 17. Safety data will continue to be collected and monitored. Before giving full approval, the FDA also inspected vaccine manufacturing facilities to ensure vaccine quality. Full approval gives doctors some leeway to prescribe the vaccine for off-label use. In the U.S., more than 92 million people have been fully vaccinated with the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine since it received emergency use authorization in December 2020. Children aged 12 to 15 will continue to use the vaccine under EUA status. EUA status may be granted by the FDA during public health emergencies when they determine that the known and potential benefits of a medical product, in this case the COVID-19 vaccine, outweigh the known and potential risks. Question: which COVID-19 vaccines has the FDA authorized for children? In May of 2021, the FDA expanded its emergency use authorization for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to include adolescents 12 to 15 years old. Previously, the Pfizer vaccine was authorized for use in children 16 years and older. At the time of this article, this is the only vaccine authorized in the U.S. for anyone under age 18. Of course, recently, those guidelines have been changed. The EUA's expanded authorization was based on results from a phase 3 trial of children aged 12 to 15. The trial enrolled 2,260 adolescents. Half got the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, the other half a saltwater placebo. The immune response in the vaccinated adolescent group was even stronger than that in vaccinated 16 to 25-year-olds enrolled in an earlier study. A total of 16 symptomatic cases of COVID-19 were reported during the trial, and all of them were in the placebo group, which means that the vaccine was 100% effective in preventing COVID-19. Vaccine-related side effects were mild and included pain at the injection site, tiredness, headache, chills, muscle pain, fever, and joint pain. Pfizer has also started testing the vaccine in children younger than 12 years. And of course, recently, vaccine use in children under 12 years has been approved. Question: does vaccination protect against long-term COVID? Being fully vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine does reduce the risk of what's called long COVID, also called post-COVID-19 syndrome or post-acute sequelae of SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. I'm sorry, infection, which is called PASC. Long COVID is a term for symptoms that arise or persist more than 28 days after an initial COVID-19 infection. Vaccination may reduce the risk of long COVID in two ways. First, it reduces the risk of becoming infected with COVID in the first place. But what about people who experience breakthrough infections, becoming infected despite being vaccinated? A study published in The Lancet shows that fully vaccinated people who experience breakthrough infections are about 50% less likely to develop long COVID than people who are infected without having been vaccinated. These results are based on self-reported data submitted via the COVID Symptom Study phone app in the United Kingdom between December 2020 and July 2021. Question: what side effects can I expect from the COVID vaccine? Minor side effects are common after COVID-19 vaccination. Almost everyone experiences arm pain at the injection site. Other symptoms can include low-grade fever, body ache, chills, fatigue, and headache. You can expect to feel better within 24 to 48 hours. Some people feel too unwell to go to work or perform their usual daily activities during this period. Contact your doctor if your symptoms have not improved by the third day. Move your sore arm around to relieve discomfort. If you have a fever, drink plenty of fluids. Over-the-counter pain relievers like ibuprofen or acetaminophen can also help with fever, pain, and other discomfort. Don't take a pain reliever right before getting your shot, because there's a chance this could blunt your immune response. The good news is that these side effects are a sign that the vaccine is working and that your body is building an antibody response. The currently available vaccines require two shots, and side effects are more likely to occur after the second shot. And of course, now people over the age of 65 and people with immune deficiencies are receiving a third booster shot. I have a severe allergy. Can I get the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine? There have been rare cases of people having a severe allergic reaction after receiving the mRNA COVID vaccine. As a result, everyone getting an mRNA vaccine in the United States must be observed for 15 minutes after getting their shot so they can receive immediate medical treatment if they experience a severe allergic reaction. Despite the small risk, most people with a history of severe allergy can safely get the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. This includes people who are allergic to food, pollen, bee stings, and medications taken by mouth. If you have a history of severe allergy, tell the person administering your vaccine. You will be observed for at least 30 minutes instead of the usual 15 minutes. If you have a history of allergic reactions to injectable medications or other vaccines, the CDC recommends asking your doctor if you should get one of the currently available mRNA vaccines. There are some people who should not get an mRNA COVID vaccine. You should not get one if you're allergic to any of the components of the vaccine, which include polyethylene glycol and polysorbate. And you should not get the second dose of an mRNA vaccine if you had an allergic reaction within 30 minutes after receiving the first vaccine dose. If you have questions regarding the safety of the COVID vaccine for you, your best option is to talk to your doctor. Are there any groups who should not get the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine? There's only a few. They include people who are allergic to any components of the mRNA vaccine, like polyethylene glycol and polysorbate, as we just mentioned. Also, people who had an allergic reaction within the first 30 minutes after receiving the first dose of an mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. Finally, it's possible that convalescent plasma or monoclonal antibodies, both of which are used to treat COVID-19, could reduce the effectiveness of the vaccine. If you received either of those treatments, you should wait 90 days before getting your vaccine. Question: what do I need to know about the Delta variant? The Delta variant is different from previous SARS-CoV-2 variants that have made their way to the United States. It's highly contagious and may cause more severe disease. It's also more likely than previous variants to be spread by vaccinated people experiencing breakthrough infections. Evidence presented to the CDC showed the Delta variant to be much more contagious than previous variants, with a risk of transmission similar to chickenpox. It also appears that people who are infected can spread the virus for longer periods of time. People who are vaccinated and then get infected, so-called breakthrough infections, can also spread the virus to others, perhaps to the same extent as those who are unvaccinated. This is also new. Vaccinated people were much less likely to spread previous variants. Finally, international studies point to the Delta variant being more likely to cause severe disease. The good news is that although vaccination may be less effective at preventing infection and the spread of the Delta variant, it is still highly protective against severe disease, hospitalization, and death. Get the COVID-19 vaccine if you have not already done so. In July of 2021, the CDC advised everyone, whether they are vaccinated or unvaccinated, to wear masks in public indoor places in areas of the country with substantial or high transmission of the virus. Given the threat posed by the Delta variant, it's reasonable for everyone to start wearing a mask in indoor public spaces, regardless of the level of virus in your area. Masks reduce the amount of virus we breathe in and breathe out. Combined with the vaccine, masks provide a 1-2 punch that reduces the risk of spread to children who are not yet eligible for vaccines, to people with weakened immune systems, and to others who are unvaccinated. Masks also provide additional protection for the wearer, including those who are fully vaccinated. How long will protection from the COVID-19 vaccines last? Three studies released by the CDC in August suggest that the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, in other words, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, become less effective over time. These studies showed that vaccine protection against mild to moderate infection begins to drop beginning several months after the second dose. The vaccines continue, however, to be highly protective against severe illness, hospitalization, and death. The increase in mild and moderate breakthrough infection may not be entirely due to a decrease in the immunity provided by the vaccine. It's possible the vaccines are not as effective against the Delta variant as they were against previous variants, and safety precautions like mask wearing and physical distancing have decreased over the last several months. This was, of course, at the time this was written, which was about 3 months ago. Since then, mask wearing has tended to increase. The MMWR studies did not address the effectiveness of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And, of course, it's this data that the vaccines become less effective over time that has led to the approval of booster vaccines. What are breakthrough infections and why do they happen? A breakthrough infection is one that occurs after full vaccination. The CDC reported in an article in MMWR 10,262 breakthrough infections through the end of April 2021. By that time, 100 million Americans had received the COVID-19 vaccine. The vast majority of these breakthrough infections were asymptomatic, mild or moderate. 1,000 of these 10,000 people were hospitalized, and 160 of the 10,000 people died, though the hospitalizations and death were not always related to COVID-19. This tells us the vaccines are doing a good job preventing infection and severe illness. None of the vaccines were 100% effective in clinical trials, so a small number of breakthrough infections were expected. Who can get a COVID-19 vaccine booster shot? In October 2021, the FDA authorized and the CDC recommended booster shots for eligible recipients of all three COVID-19 vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Individuals may select any vaccine for their booster, either the same or different than their initial vaccine. Just to break this down a little bit, if you received the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, in two doses, you are eligible for a booster dose 6 months after completion of your initial vaccine series if you are 65 years old or you are 18 years and older and live in a long-term care setting or have an underlying illness that puts you at increased risk for severe COVID illness, or if you live or work in a high-risk setting, for example, in a hospital. As far as the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is concerned, anyone age 18 and older who received an initial dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is eligible for a booster dose 2 months after the initial vaccination. So that's a lot sooner. Which COVID-19 vaccine booster should I get? In October 2021, the FDA authorized and the CDC approved a single-dose booster for eligible recipients of all three COVID-19 vaccines. Individuals can select any vaccine for their booster, either the same or different than their initial vaccine. This authorization was based on an NIH study that enrolled 458 adults. The study participants each got a booster dose. One-third got the Pfizer booster, one-third the Moderna booster, and one-third the Johnson & Johnson booster. All of these adults had received one of the three COVID-19 vaccines at least 3 months earlier. The researchers found that any vaccine plus booster combination substantially increased the level of neutralizing antibodies, which are antibodies that block the COVID virus from infecting cells. But the increase was greatest in those who followed a Johnson & Johnson vaccine with an mRNA vaccine, particularly the Moderna vaccine. The increase in neutralizing antibodies was fourfold for Johnson & Johnson, followed by a Johnson & Johnson booster, 35-fold for Johnson & Johnson, followed by a Pfizer booster, and 75-fold for Johnson & Johnson, followed by a Moderna booster. The Moderna booster dose used in the study contained twice as much antigen as the dose the FDA has authorized for the Moderna booster. There were no new safety concerns, and side effects were similar to those that people have experienced with COVID vaccinations across all primary and booster doses. Given this information, it makes sense for people who started with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to consider using the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine for a booster. If you started with the Moderna vaccine, it makes sense to stick with the Moderna vaccine. The FDA and CDC did not recommend that particular groups of people seek out or avoid specific vaccines. However, it may be reasonable for young women to ask their doctor whether they should avoid a booster dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is associated with an increased risk of a rare but serious type of blood clot that has been more common in women aged 18 to 49. In addition, there's been a higher than expected number of heart inflammation cases after vaccination with the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines in male adolescents and young men. Those who fall into that category may want to ask their doctor if they should avoid a Pfizer or a Moderna booster. Anyone who initially received a Johnson & Johnson vaccine is eligible for a booster dose 2 months after the initial vaccine. Some groups of people who originally received the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine are eligible for a booster in 6 months, and that's principally people over 65 or people that have some type of immune deficiency or people that live in a nursing home or work in a hospital. Question: Can I get my flu shot at the same time as my COVID-19 booster shot? According to the CDC, you can get the COVID-19 vaccine and another vaccine, including the flu shot, at the same time. The CDC's guidance applies to the initial or booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Getting both vaccines at the same time does not compromise the effectiveness of either immunization. Side effects should be the same for vaccines given together or separately. Of course, if you get the shots in different arms, you could experience soreness in both of your arms, which may be kind of annoying. Question: I have a weakened immune system. Do I need a third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine? And as we already saw, the FDA has authorized a third dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine for certain people who are immunocompromised, and this third dose should be given at least 28 days after the second dose. A person with a weakened immune system may not be able to produce a strong enough immune response to the standard two-dose COVID mRNA vaccine regimen. This leaves them more likely to have a breakthrough infection. A third vaccine dose may enhance the immune response in some people who are immunocompromised. For that reason, the FDA authorized a third dose for people who are moderately or severely immunocompromised. This would include people born with an immune deficiency, having advanced or untreated HIV, having a chronic medical condition like chronic kidney disease or lack of a spleen, or on some type of medication that suppresses the immune response, like many cancer treatments, some biologic agents, and high-dose corticosteroids. Well, it looks like we run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned some things about COVID and COVID vaccine. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it.